I'd like to call the meeting of the Senate Education Committee to order. We do have a quorum. We're going to begin with Minnesota Board of School Administrator appointee confirmations. Three of the six appointees are here, so it will be our determination to consider all of the information on all of them are before in the packet here for your review, and we will determine at that point if you wish to schedule the other three at another time or wish to confirm all of them. But we will hear from the, and I believe Mr. Mack, who's the director of the board, was not able to be here today. He had planned to, but had a conflict developed, so is not able to represent the other three or talk, beyond that about the board. So I would like to invite the three that are here, if they might join us at the table. Penny Kodrick, is it Kodrick?
Kodrich.
And Robert Meyer and James Rhodes. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
And I believe that two of you are new to the board, and one is a reconfirm. So who would like to begin?
I will take a shot at it, Madam Chair and members. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Mr. Rhodes.
It's a pleasure to...
Say your name.
I'm Jim Rhodes, and I'm on the Board of School Administrators. I am the former school board member slot. Everybody has a different reason why they're on that board. And I used to be on the school board in St. Louis Park for 12 years, and that's how come I got on the board. The board has made enormous progress. I urge you to go to our website. It has really been enhanced. We are doing great things, trying to reach out to all the organizations that we touch. And with Stan Mack as our executive director, we are really taking off. And it's been a great experience. I enjoy doing it. Basically, it's convenient for me to run over to attend the meetings and sit down with these very esteemed people that are a lot more smarter than I am. With that, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. I'm Robert Meyer. I'm the Community Education Director's representative. I'm currently the Community Education Director in Chisago Lake School District. I've been the director there for 19 years. I've been attending the board meetings for the last 12 months, and I've also, prior to that, was involved in the rule writing for the administrative licensure rules. That was a three-year process that I was involved in that prior to being appointed to the board. I'm also work with the Minnesota Community Education Association, acting as an executive director on a very part-time basis.
Okay. Hello, Madam Chair.
Kodrich.
Senators, I am Penny Kodrich. Thank you for having me here. And Senator Olson, I happen to live in your district. I hope that's a plus. I actually do work in Edina Public Schools. I have worked in the Edina Public Schools. This is my 29th year. I have been, I am representing the directors of special education for the board. I have worked as a director of special services for the Edina Public Schools for the past 14 years, and prior to that, I was an assistant director for the Edina Public Schools. It is my honor and privilege to have been asked to serve on this board. I am new to the board. My colleagues and myself are very dedicated to the board and see its worth and are working hard to be active members of the board. I did want to mention that I have served on, in the past, Jim Ramstead's Education Committee, and that I was the first co-chair with the superintendent from Willmar as the federal advocacy group for the organization, the MACE and MESA organization.
Well, thank you for that brief introduction. Are there any questions that you would like to direct or draw out more about the role of the board or background of any of these individuals, members? Senator Stumpf, you looked like you were about ready to ask a question.
Madam Chair, I was I just wanted to compliment you and your staff on the nice layout of the information. So,
you can actually find with tabs.
Exactly. Thank you.
It's wonderful. Yes, thank you. Senator Wieger.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I could ask each of the nominees to briefly tell us the number one challenge they're faced with and how they plan to address that.
Who would like to begin?
Thank you, Senator and
Mr. Rhodes.
Members of the committee. I think we have faced a major challenge in how the board was functioning totally, especially with the clientele that we are dealing with. And that was how we make sure that we get the money comes in, is deposited correctly and on time, how we do run an efficient operation, how we get out to the people and let them know we exist, and having a new director has really made a big difference in that. So we actually, that challenge was pretty deep and has come around very, very well. I'm very proud to say that it was the board's actions that really made it all come together as a unit. Now it's a matter of the outreach now to our constituents and making sure that they know what we are all about and what we're doing.
Well, Mr. Rhodes, in the absence of Mr. Mack, we got a lot of new people here on the board. Could you give us just a review of what this board does? What are its responsibilities? Since you're the returning one, I expect that you would be the expert.
Madam Chair, I was afraid you're going to ask me that question. I don't want to linger on the meeting too long. The board, basically, we're involved in any kind of actions that the superintendents or other officials of school districts are working with, dealing with their licensure and the problems of discipline, the problems of making sure that they are all certified to be in the position they are in. Those are the main things we do. And that would be like community ed directors, it would be assistant superintendents. We and this is statewide, so anybody that is going to be applied for a licensure or change or move in or move out of different positions has to go through a process. And we also make sure that they are also paying their, I don't want to say membership fee, their dues or what, for licensure. They're paying for their licensure and that they are on time getting the money in so we can make it work. And by the way, the money goes to the general fund. The money does not stay within the board.
Okay. Senator Wieger, Madam Chair, I would
Mr. Meyer.
Thank you. I would say in my short time there that one of the items of concern was the communication between the board and the Department of Ed, and I think Dr. Mack has made strides in addressing that one, and a huge one. We used to be housed at TIES, and we now have moved into the Department of Ed, which I think is going to be a huge benefit in terms of communicating between our board, the Department of Ed, and the Board of Teaching. Starting off in the short time I've been there, I think that was a huge issue, and I think that's being addressed as well.
Okay. Ms. Coders? I think forward thinking in terms of our challenges that I'm just beginning to be involved with is a couple of things, but it's working with higher education and the preparation programs for licensure for our principals and our superintendents, and looking at what the possibilities may be for alternative licensure and alternative pathways for our future leaders in education. And this is, we do have representatives from the various university training institutions that join the board on a monthly basis, but this is a large challenge before us as we look to the future.
You want to follow up?
I've had a question that I'll
come. Okay, Senator Bonhoeff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just I'm encouraged to hear you talk about looking at alternative pathways for superintendents as well. We haven't really talked much about that, but if you look at strong leaders that might be available for, say, you know, they've left a corporate career, you know, and would consider in a giving back sort of way coming in and being a superintendent, I think we'll see more of that. And so I agree with you. That's wonderful.
Sir, are we?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Madam Chair. And just a follow up on your response on the preparation of administrators, just as the Bush Foundation, as you're aware, is looking at the 50% or more turnover in classroom teachers, I assume there's a similar amount amongst administrators and probably a need to raise the bar for expectations and how that translates to what you're doing would be a great deal of interest in the future. But clearly, it's not status quo.
Any other response? Senator DeCrave.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question that I'd like to have all three of you address, and it has to do with our administrators, our superintendents, probably more than anything. There's budget restraints everywhere, and we see some very small districts that have their own superintendent. Over a school of a few hundred students, and we also see a superintendent over a large school with several, many thousands of students. Do you see a time, and is it part of your vision to possibly see some sharing going on? Could there be a cooperative effort in your mind where one superintendent may be over two or three smaller districts to help save costs? And do you think that would work in your opinion?
Mr. Meyer, here's your chance, those of you who are in specialty areas, to go after the superintendent.
Yeah. we still report to one.
No.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I think those decisions aren't necessarily one that we will be dealing with at our level. Those are really local decisions and how neighboring districts can work together cooperatively to address their financial situations. Though we oversee the licensure of those positions, we really don't set into play how a district can work with another district or how they can share in that position. However, I think the trend has been in the past that smaller districts are doing exactly that. When you look at 10 years ago, there was probably 378 school districts, and currently there's 343, I believe. So that is occurring. Even the district that I'm in, Chisago Lakes, over the last 15 years, we've combined with Taylor's Falls, mainly because of an economic situation for that district and to provide services for those students.
Madam Chair, if I may, that's a policy decision that should be brought forth by legislature. We've talked over the years, put my admin hat on for a minute. I'm with the Department of Administration right currently, and we talked about cooperative ventures in purchasing and back office things that can be done, and I think it'd be a great discussion for the legislature to decide if they would like to have them do more of that. The economics are there. We've proved that, especially with procurement. Senator Vonoff can probably chat on that forever on this, but it can be done.
Thank you. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could you tell me, do you oversee both a licensure for superintendents and principals?
Yes, we do.
Okay, thank you. And then a follow-up question, if I may, Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Nelson.
The principal licensure, I understand the Ed Spec licensure, is unique to Minnesota. I believe there aren't other states that require that. And I'm wondering if you might be able to give me some of your thoughts on that. Is it effective? Is that something we need to keep? I'm just not sure. I just know that it's a bit of an anomaly for our state, and I'd like some feedback on that. And then on the our superintendents, I know there's great turnover, and I'm wondering if and again, this might be more not in your jurisdiction, but certainly something you might be well aware of. Are there things that we can do or require or help our superintendents so that there is a more longevity, if that's additional training or a different type of training? I'm just not sure. It's kind of a broad question, but I'd like your comments and thoughts.
Well, Ms. Goldrich, I will comment. Excuse me. Sorry. Thank you. I will comment just briefly about the training for the principals. When you say ed spec, I believe you mean the ed specialist.
Yes.
Degree, yes. My impression is based on my several years in education and the principals that we have, that the training has been valuable and it is relevant to the work that they are doing. I think it's an ongoing process because education is changing and it's changing rapidly. And so that continuous staff development is very important for principals and superintendents. But the type of training and preparation that our principals are receiving appears to be very, I've used the word before, relevant, but it is relevant to the needs and the demands that are being placed upon the schools and in terms of response to, particularly now as we're looking at the achievement gap, that which seems to be quite significant here in Minnesota. We're educators. We're bound to agree that higher education is valuable, but real life experiences are also valuable. And in most of the programs today, there are internships that are required for principals. And those internships tend to be very valuable because it is actually a real-life experience. And for us, we try to groom many of our future principals or administrators. Certainly, we look beyond our boundaries, but that is also another option. So I personally believe that further education is of value. Now, we as a board do have people that come to us from out of state who are requesting alternatives or some kind of special compensation, license, a variance to their license. We have a process that we look at and many steps that we review before we allow that, but we do allow those exceptions, those variances.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Are there any other comments that you wish to make that you feel are necessary to convince us to confirm you? Well, what we need then is a motion to be reported back to the Senate with a recommendation that they be confirmed. Now, we could either move for the three appointees that are with us today. There are three that are not. They are, one of them is a reappointment, the one representing higher education, and there are two new ones, one representing the elementary school principals and the other representing superintendents. They weren't able to join us today, but we would work to have another time if you would like to visit with them. Otherwise, you could move the entire slate for recommendation based on what you have reviewed and the materials that you have. What's your pleasure?
Madam Chair, I would
Senator
move
Wilson.
That we confirm all appointees.
Okay, so you would move, Senator Nelson moves that the six appointees to the Board of School Administrators as presented in our materials, and they're for varying terms. Jean Haar is to 2013, Penny Kodrick, who is with us, is to 2012, Mary Jo Schmidt, who is the elementary principal, to 2013, and I'm missing a couple of those in terms of the timing. Rhodes, yours is until 2014. And Mr. Meyer is to 2014. And Mr. Wymore is to 2014. So we have a motion before us. Is there any discussion on that motion?
Madam Chair.
Senator Scheid.
Madam Chair, I strongly support it. I've had the opportunity here while people were speaking to look through here, and it's obviously a very impressive collection of Minnesotans, and so I think we should support confirming all six.
Okay, if there's no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. The motion prevails. We will recommend to the full Senate their confirmation.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming and being with us. So our next item is we are going to have a chance to get acquainted with the new commissioner, Dr. Caselius. Is she here? Very good. And if there's any that you would like to bring with you or from your staff, we invite you to come to the table or to join you as you see fit.
Madam Chair.
Welcome to our committee, Dr. Caselius. This is not, we're not putting you on the spot for confirmation. That'll come at a later time. Okay. But you are having an opportunity to discover what you've gotten yourself into and maybe have some ideas that you'd like to share with us, as well as some of your new either structure or a selection of your team. And we'd love to hear about it. And so people will get to know, you know, who to contact and learn more about it. So welcome to our committee, Dr. Caselius.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do you want me to just move forward? And mm-hmm. I think I'll start with introducing my team, if that's okay with you.
That's fine.
Brian Shackleton is going to be our new government relations director, and we're glad to have him. He comes with a lot of experience. Charlene Briner will be our director of communications, and she's been working with us here, and she also comes with a lot of experience over on the House side. Christina Gosick, as you may know some of her work, also from the legislature. And Jesse Montano, who has been with the department for 35 years, is the deputy commissioner working with us over at MDE. I guess I'm too short, Madam Chair, here. And so I'm really excited about the team that we've assembled so far. We have not selected yet our three assistant commissioners. We are in the process of reviewing applications for that and hope to get to that this week to start reviewing some of those applications and making those decisions.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Okay.
Anything else you'd like to share?
Well, Madam Chair, I'll share a little bit about who I am and what brings me to this position and where I've come from. And then maybe I'll share just a brief little bit about my vision for the department, and then I'll take questions if that's okay.
Very fine. Thank you.
So many of you may have already Googled me or heard through the grapevine a little bit about me. I am born in Syracuse, New York, on the way in the Air Force, but most of my life raised in Minneapolis. Most of you know that I was raised with not as much wealth as maybe some others, and went to Head Start as a child and went to Minneapolis Public Schools early on in my childhood, and then went to college at the University of Minnesota, and then got my master's degree in teaching from the College of St. Thomas at that time, now the University of St. Thomas, and my specialist degree from there, as well as my superintendent license. I did also receive my doctorate in education when I was in Memphis. So that's a little bit about me personally in terms of my educational experience that I bring to the position. In terms of my experience, I began working with children when I was just 15 years old. I began working with children at a camp that I used to go to for underprivileged kids called Camp Manikiki in Waconia, Minnesota. And I learned then that you could really make a difference in just one child's life, and at a very young age that made an impression on me. So then I worked my way up through the system, they might say, and I became a child development technician, which is like an educational assistant. Well, before that, I worked at St. Joseph's Home for Abused and Neglected Children for a few years with Catholic Charities, and then I was child development technician at Harrison Secondary School in Minneapolis, which was a level 5 a school for emotionally behavior disturbed children, while I was studying to get my teaching degree. And then I taught at Saturn School briefly in my internship, and Dr. Dolores Henderson, a longtime principal, came and observed me a couple times and said, "Boy, I have this class for you that I'd like for you to teach." And so my internship was shortened, and I became a full-time teacher in St. Paul Public Schools at Benjamin E. May School. moved to Burnsville to do some teaching and diversity work there, and then was getting my administrative license at that time, and was recruited back to St. Paul to become an assistant principal. And I worked with Joanne Knuth, who some of you may know. She is just an outstanding principal. And to have her in my formative early years of learning how to be a leader was invaluable. And from St. Paul, I moved to Minneapolis Public School, served under Dr. Carol Johnson. Some of you may know her. She's an amazing woman and an amazing mentor. And left quite an impression on me, and went to Memphis with her to work in middle school reform. And so worked with schools there and did some work on ending corporal punishment. We called it the Blue Ribbon Plan, and also quite extensive middle school reform plan there. Came back to Minneapolis and worked on the high school secondary redesign. Had an opportunity then in a few years after doing that. I was in Minneapolis since 2007. Just recently was accepted a position with the East Metro Integration District as superintendent. Very much loved that job, and then was asked to be Commissioner of Education. And so it's quite an honor. I'm quite humbled by this opportunity and ability to serve this governor in this time. I think all of you will agree that it's quite a unique time for education, and I'm very excited to be sitting here before you today.
Thank you. I'm going to share a bit about your vision.
Okay.
Where you'd
chew
like
this
to take
Eltoid
both
in my mouth.
Yes.
So, with the 20-plus years that I have around education and all the way from being an educational assistant to a superintendent, I have many opinions about education and have formed many opinions throughout the years and matured in those positions as well. But one of the things that is a core value of mine is around teacher preparation. It's why I left teaching so early, was to better support curriculum development, better support networks of teachers. I was always in leadership positions when I was a teacher. And so I always enjoyed kind of that sharing and camaraderie and collaboration. And so to have the opportunity to bring that vision to the State Department, to shape a vision for this state, and to provide better service to schools and support to teachers is really something that I think you get one chance at. I think superintendents are clearly a catalyst in their communities and within their districts for change. And so I have the opportunity, because I've worked along K-12 education and worked along superintendents, to be able to influence and work with them around a common vision for this state, and then find ways for them to network and collaborate effectively with each other, share resources with one another, share best practices, get their teachers together working together more collaboratively around those best practices, set a few goals that are really doable and realistic that get at the real needs with students. And so I think the agency will shift just a little bit to not so much compliance-driven, which is still important. We still are required to do much of the compliance, but also trying to better serve schools around teaching and learning, in particularly setting standards that are challenging and set high expectations for students and having all teachers understand those standards. Being able to work along teachers with their induction programs and professional learning communities and help them establish networks, trying to find the bright spots where teaching and learning is really happening, and then have them share that with their colleagues. And then around service to those districts and those schools, so that they feel as though the department is responsive and also goes out and works with them in a very collaborative function, helping them to meet the goals that we set out for them. So looking to shift the agency to better support schools.
Very good.
Yeah.
We are confronted, and I think it's probably on every one of our minds, the state that we're in terms of the achievement gap. It's not exactly pleasant to be just behind Washington, D.C. In that. And yes. Do you have any, I realize that some of the things that you've stated in the vision you believe are contributing, might contribute to that, but do you have any other notions of how that should be approached and how we can make some quicker work, since these children are advancing a year in age every year, and it's hard to see this kind of pattern continue. What challenge would you have for us that you can you know talk about now, or even a broader vision on that subject?
Yes, you know, the achievement gap is quite a complex issue for us here in our state, and it is disappointing, and we do definitely need to focus on that. I have some experience with closing gaps from my systemic work in Memphis, and what I found there was really about inspiring the adults to want to change the conditions so that children are successful. And to do that, they have to really believe all children can learn. There has to be this kind of relentless focus that all children can learn. There's also relentless focus on mastery, that you expect students to master, and you have a no excuses kind of mindset. And then you have to set very high expectations and make sure that the curriculum that you give is engaging for students. It's also challenging them, but yet meeting them at their need. There's a big fancy word we use as teachers called differentiating instruction. And really all that is about meeting the needs of the learners where they're at and being able to assess that fairly with fair and credible assessments, formative assessments, we call that, daily measuring. Did we make the standard? Did they learn the standard? If they don't learn the standard, then what do we do then to make sure that they learn the standard? Or if they did learn the standard, then how did we enrich that and then move that forward? And so it's about helping teachers with that toolkit. We have very competent teachers here in the state doing wonderful work, and it's really about getting them to share those tools and those skills that they have in order to move children who come to us maybe speaking a second language or maybe not having a reading vocabulary that is adequate for them to be able to be successful. And so we have to be able to understand where they're at when they come and then be able to move them. And part of that is really building these networks of teachers who are actually getting it done and helping them to share that best practice. I think that's a big piece. So it's building culture. It's setting high expectation. It's not letting them get off. And it's making sure that teachers have the tools and the support that they need to be successful. And all around that, I truly believe principals make a difference. And you can have all the great teachers in the world, but if you don't have a very highly effective principal, that then can interfere with the effectiveness of teachers in the classroom. So I think it's both. You need a leader who inspires them, who gives them the support, who helps them find ways that they can connect and share their best practice. And then as teachers who understand, children come to us uniquely qualified in the classrooms. And so we have to be able then to adjust our instruction and our pedagogy so that they're able to learn.
Very good. Other questions? Senator Rieger.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Selyus, should any standards in Minnesota be changed? And should we change how we measure student achievement and report it?
Madam Chair,
Dr.
Senator Rieger. Well, setting standards is very complex, and I do believe that we have to set very high standards for our students. And I think that we're looking currently at our social studies standards and resetting those. We've just adopted the ELA Common Core standards, and I know that we'll be looking again at our math standards. And absolutely, we need fair, accurate, credible assessments of that for accountability purposes. But we also need fair and credible assessments so that teachers know when students have learned something and when they haven't. And so how do we know how much students grow? And so growth-measured tests are really a positive way where we assess for learning rather than assessments of learning. And that's really the measures that help teachers inform their instruction so that students learn better. Thank you, Senator. Madam Chair.
Well, Madam Chair, I expect we'll see some legislative proposals addressing this.
Madam Chair, Senator Rieger, we would definitely be looking at our standards. especially as the Common Core standards are released nationally. We'll make sure that we are looking at all of that and how we review our current set of standards and that they're challenging.
Dr. Casillas, how do the I haven't gotten down to reviewing the specific standards, but in the English language arts area, how do they differ, or how would you describe the difference between our current standards, and also to what degree do they include or address what we've had, thanks to Senator Wieger some years ago, about maybe a dozen that put in statute the challenge to reading proficiently by third grade and taught by scientific research-based standards that follow the National Reading Panel goals. Can you enlighten us a little bit on that part?
Yeah. Yes, Madam Chair. One of the really interesting parts of these standards for the English Language Arts and the Common Core is that they also address reading, and they address reading in the content area at the later years. And so that's really a key piece for secondary, because up from birth to grade 3, you're really learning how to read. And then after grade 3, you're reading to learn. Mm-hmm. And so it's very critical that students have reading skills early on, and that we're able to work with students so that then when they go on, and also in our teacher preparation, teachers understand that reading is still very important even as they are moved through secondary school.
So, Dr. Casillas, do you believe that the Common Core addresses particularly that early area of learning to read?
Yes, I do. Okay. I do believe it does, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Casillas. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, just back to your question on the standards. I'm wondering, some of our standards are not scheduled for review until 2015, like the math standards. Were you thinking of doing a review of those prior to that? Or I thought I heard you say you wanted to review all the standards. Can you clarify, please?
Madam Chair.
Dr. Casillas.
Senator. As the Common Core is released nationally, we then have the option to look at those again and review those as a state. And so if there were new math standards released, then we could make an option. We could optionally look at those. And so I would recommend that we do look at those if they're released.
Okay, so as new standards are released, Common Core standards, then look at reviewing our standards. Is that correct?
Yes, Senator.
Thank you.
Senator Stumpf.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could you give us an idea of what kinds of reforms you might be interested in, and how technical education kind of plays into the future?
Madam Chair.
Dr. Casillas.
Senator. I have a lot of ideas. Mm-hmm. I think the ones that I've heard from others, I'll talk a little bit about as I've been doing listening sessions and things that people have brought to me as being very important issues. Early childhood, obviously, is an area that everybody has some interest in, not only here locally but also nationally. And we know from the research that earlier you can intervene with children, get them reading, get them excited about learning, the better that they'll do, the better their chances of success. So early childhood is definitely an area. Now, I heard you talk about technical. I've had a love and interest in technical learning for a long time because my background is secondary. And so some things that I've been interested in, I'm not sure if I could propose them as reform ideas, but is for our junior and senior years to really be looked at differently, and that our juniors and seniors have opportunities to work more closely in articulating credit with our community colleges. And how can we find money and find ways to have students not only earning their high school diploma, but also earning an associate's degree or a certificate in a skill? Because if they had that, then they could help work their way through college as well. And so those were some of the ideas that I have. I'm also very interested in the upper end around dropout recovery. And are there things that we can do to help engage students differently so that we don't have such a dropout problem?
Senator Stumpf and I share this this concern, and both for the career and technical education. And I think the fact that we have lost many of those opportunities for some solid applied learning of the academics, I think it's contributed to an increased dropout rate,
yeah.
Because not every child, regardless of their age, learns in the same way. And it's been interesting. I was out at the Education Commission of the States meeting in December. There was more. There seems to be growing recognition of that. That when you measure many of the students in these career fields in high school, actually do better academically on the assessments than some of the ones that have just had straight academic courses in math and science in those areas. So we're kind of concerned that some of the policies and funding mechanisms that we have moved toward have actually caused the demise. I heard a couple of days ago about a couple of school districts, one that's partially in my district, that have closed their ag program.
Yeah.
You know, the ag teachers have more preparation in economics than any of the academic teachers, and I think Wauseco is another one, and you lose with that your leadership development that comes through the student organizations. I just hate to see that happening, because agriculture is still an extremely important, not just farming.
Yeah.
The whole agricultural industry is important to our entire state's economy. So anyway, we're still searching for ideas, and we would welcome you to the team of trying to resolve that issue.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I was just in Perham, and they were talking about this community ed link and how they felt as though 80% of their positions for employment required a two-year certificate in rural areas. And so they were imploring on me and saying, please look at these technical programs for our ag programs and others. And so I was listening quite intently to their ideas that they had around that.
Thank you. It's good to hear that you've had an opportunity already to visit Greater Minnesota and some of the schools there, given, I think, as I mentioned before, you have solid experience in the urban areas.
Yeah.
But, you know, the diversity of challenge around the state is I don't know if it's unique, but I think it's certainly in evidence in our state. And so thank you for hitting the ground running in that area.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I found it really valuable, and I wanted to make it a priority.
Thank you. Senator Daley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the time that you put in for the preparation to get to this day, all those years. I was just wondering, after watching several movies, and you may have had the opportunity to watch The Lottery, The Cartel, and maybe Waiting for Superman, have you had a chance to see those?
Madam Chair, Senator, I've seen Waiting for Superman. I have not seen the other two yet.
Madam Chair, could you comment on what you felt like while you're watching that movie and at the end, and how that motivates you now and going into the future?
Madam Chair, Senator, well, I cried in the movie. And I've been very motivated my entire career, much like that movie, to make a difference for every child, especially children who come with less. And I want to ensure that when they're in our schools, we don't give them even more, even less. And it was a difficult movie to watch. And you just wanted every kid to be able to get what they wanted. And it just wrenched at my heart at the end there. And so I just hate that there's situations like that. That's why it's just so important that we invest in education and we invest in our children and that we do everything possible, that we have a caring and competent teacher in front of every single child and every school building is successful. And that's been my goal my entire life. Instead of being a doctor with children or being a psychologist or something like that, I decided the best way I could make a difference for children was through creating wonderful educational systems and wonderful schools for them. And
Madam Chair.
Senator Daley.
So often it's important that we write down what our goals are, and we have metrics and we measure those things. It seems fair that we measure the important things that we've been talking about, that every child can read by the end of third grade, that we close the achievement gap, that we tie teacher performance to student achievement. Do you have these kinds of metrics up on your wall, or do you intend to, so that as we talk, we can gauge your performance, and you can ask for our help to achieve those things where and when we can do the things that we need to work together to achieve that?
Madam Chair, Senator, absolutely. I have always set goals. I have always tried to hold myself accountable to meeting those goals. And I have always tried to make sure that others understood what my goals were so they could help me accomplish those. I don't come with everything. It takes a team to be able to do this work. And so it's very important that everybody rallies around a common vision, and that's what I hope to be able to do as a commissioner, is to be able to rally the superintendents around some common goals that we all hold ourselves accountable for. I would say closing the achievement gap is one of those goals that I hope to accomplish. If we can get closer to that, I will have felt like I have done some good work.
I saw some other hands here. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, thank you for coming before us and giving us an opportunity to get to know you a little better. I listened intently and was taking notes, and one of the things that I think you mentioned was that when you were in Tennessee that you worked on middle school reform. And as a former middle school teacher, I'd like to ask you, what type of reform did you work on there, and what kind of results did you see, and is it something you think we should look at in Minnesota?
Sure, Madam Chair. Senator, I had a blast in Memphis. It was very much an amazing experience to work with 31 middle schools. When I got there, there were 14 of those middle schools were in corrective action and state takeover. And I remember sitting at the table with Dr. Johnson and at that time, Commissioner of Accountability for the state of Tennessee came and said, we're going to take over these schools. And Dr. Johnson said, whoa, I just got here. You know, give us a chance to self-correct. And so she asked me to come up with a school reconstitution plan because the state was going to come take them over. So we had to do some aggressive action. And so we came up with what we call Fresh Start Plan. We also ended corporal punishment, which then shifted the culture in the schools, I believe. We also replaced several principals, we also implemented common characteristics of high-quality schools across the middle schools. Then we implemented a middle school matrix of what high-quality middle schools look like. We had fight-free schools, and we secured a lot of grants around new teacher projects. So we did some high quality content-based teacher training for middle school teachers. Some of them came with a K-12 license and hadn't had the math content expertise. So we worked with the local university to do some math content expertise for our math teachers, and we pulled them together every month for math professional development. We implemented a whole new math curriculum. We did Strivers Readers, and we implemented Read 180. These programs that we implemented, though, I want to be sure that you understand that I don't believe programs are what moved the needle for us in Memphis. I believe it was about inspiring adults to have a relentless focus on children, to have a relentless focus on mastery for those children, to shift the culture to an academically based culture, and the whole 31 middle schools, those principals worked together as a learning community. They were on fire. One individual's success at a school wasn't good enough. We wanted all of us to be successful. And so by the second year, we had 22 schools making AYP, And when I got there, only four were making AYP. And within 2 years, 22 were making AYP. And then the year after I left, all but, I think, four or five were making AYP. And I think this is a testament to the hard work that those school teams did and in working together around student achievement and how they supported one another and the professional networks that teachers were able to build, not only within schools, but across schools as well.
Thank you.
Senator Bonham.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, welcome to the committee. I've had the chance to speak to you a little bit, and I think that we are very lucky in Minnesota and that our kids are in very good hands, and that's very exciting. But I wondered if you would share with the committee a little bit about your experience going around with Secretary Duncan and Congressman Klein, if there's anything that you might be able to share in terms of any thoughts of how we might partner, given now that Congressman Klein is in that role and we have the relationship with Secretary Duncan.
Yeah. Madam Chair.
Senator, Dr. Casselius.
Senator Bonoff. It was really nice to have the Secretary in town speaking with the chamber and then going out to Lakeville, and it was very nice to meet Representative Klein. I think we're fortunate in Minnesota to have Representative Klein heading up the House Education Committee. I think also that Representative Klein is wanting to, he said publicly, fully fund special ed. And for us superintendents and district folks here, we really love that because we've been having to use cross subsidies to fully fund our mandates around special ed. And we lovingly do it, but it still is quite an expense for school districts. So to have an advocate sitting as chair for the Education Committee is just, I think, wonderful. And it's my understanding from listening to the two of them that they have a very good relationship, one of respect, and I think an urgency, both of them, to rewrite the ESEA. That was my understanding. I tend to be quite an optimist, you know, but I do believe, Senator, that there will be portions, if not all, of ESEA rewritten this year. Keep our fingers crossed, because I think Representative Klein's leadership on that committee will help push some of that through. I think he realizes that it's time for that law to change. There are some pieces, I think, of ESEA that were really good about getting us to look at all children, getting us to look at data, teacher quality and ensuring good teacher quality, even though that, I think, could be tweaked some. I do believe that the ESEA reauthorization will happen.
Good. Thank you. Senator Wieger.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, any thoughts on parent empowerment? Specifically, what has worked to get parents empowered, and some specifics maybe in Minneapolis?
Dr. Casselius.
Madam Chair and Senator, I believe parents are a child's first teacher. And I believe that some parents are able to do more than others. My personal experience, my mother was never able to go to teacher conferences, but I was dressed and I was off on the bus. And I think that it is just so important that we meet parents where they're at, respect them. I never met a parent who didn't care deeply about their child and want the best for them. And so if we can give them the tools to help them at home with their reading or understanding and empowering them and enfranchising them as much as they're able, I think that would be great. It does require some resources. I heard the secretary actually speak to this last week. He said that they want to double the funding for parent education and parent programming. And I don't know if they're going to do this through the Promise Neighborhoods grants and competitive grants or if it will be some kind of formula flow through. But they did mention that, and I heard also in the President's State of the Union, he talked about parents and the importance of parents as being the child's first teacher and how we need to embrace that. But I do believe we have to shift a little bit our belief system about parents who come to it with less than. I believe we have to believe every single parent wants the best for their child. And so I have that core belief, and I try to come to the table with that.
Thank you. Any more questions? Or any final words from you to challenge us?
Oh. Well, we have a lot of work to do over the next couple of months here for our kids. I think we're in a really unique position to set a new direction for Minnesota in educating our children from birth through higher ed. And it is a daunting task, but I think one that we can absolutely do. And so I'm very thankful and humbled by this opportunity and honored to work with all of you on the future direction that we're able to set for Minnesota, because this is a great state. We have great kids, and I love being here. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Caselius. I appreciate your taking the time and coming and joining us today.
Thank you.
So if there are no further questions, I believe that we can make up for the overtime we've put in before, and I will call this meeting adjourned.